You know what that music means? It means it's time to call with your retirement-related questions for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Joined this week by C.J. Kloss and Eric Schwartz. Telephone number to join us on the program. All you got to do is dial in 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Love to get you on the air this morning. Don't forget you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number is 608-442-5637. And again, phone lines are open for you right now. If you've got a question, get you live on the air at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. As mentioned, joined this week by C.J. Kloss and Eric Schwartz. C.J., how you doing this week?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing good. Great to talk with you. Eric, how have you been?
I am doing great. Glad to be back this week.
It's great to have both of you along. Great to hear from you. And we've got fees, and we're going to talk about fees and commissions, which obviously people, it's an important part of a conversation. People don't always want to know entirely how that works. Sometimes there's sometimes you don't always understand what that stuff is. And we're going to kind of break down and kind of demystify fees and commissions and really help folks understand what, when it comes to financial professionals, what they're getting paid for and or how they're getting paid and product services, all that. Because it's one of these shows, and as I got a chance to preview the notes the other day, it's one of those shows where you really want to pay close attention because there's some really, really important information and really, really good information. Of course, we do this each and every week with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. Before we get rolling on this week's topic, let's actually look back at last week's show. Of course, each and every week, we do the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, chance to win a fantastic prize. This week, no exception, our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Amazon. I'll tell you a little bit later on in the program how you can win that prize. A little tip, though, listen closely, because oftentimes the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week come up during the show. As mentioned, before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's actually take a look back at last week's show and get the question and answer there as well.
Yeah, so thank you to everyone for listening, as usual, and congratulations to our winner from last week, and that was Tom from Waterloo. And last week's question was true or false. Choosing a joint and survivor annuity option on your pension will allow your spouse to receive benefits after your death. And again, that was true or false, and Tom knew that the correct answer was true.
Great work, Tom from Waterloo, and you can be like Tom. Just pay close attention to the program. We'll tell you how you can win a little bit later on in the show. Phone lines there open for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Of course, today we are going to be talking about demystifying fees and commissions and, of course, helping folks better understand how financial professionals generally get paid for the product or services they provide. And CJ, let's kind of set this up. What do folks need to know here?
Yeah, so in our opinion, there's nothing more frustrating than working with someone in financial services and not understanding how they get paid or how they're incentivized. Therefore, during our show today, it's our intent to demystify fees and commissions so that our listeners can be better prepared to engage professionals connected to financial services. Now, let's begin with the basics. Who are these quote-unquote financial professionals you might engage throughout your life? To narrow our focus, we're only going to discuss the primary financial professionals that a typical American individual or household might engage over a lifetime. Some of those individuals or entities might include some of the following: bankers or credit union representatives, and this would include like loan officers, insurance agents or brokers, accountants, estate planning attorneys, and financial advisors. Now, again, you may engage other peripheral financial planners, but especially in our industry, as financial planners, as investment advisors, these are the core ones that we often see our clients needing to assemble to have a successful financial plan. So these are the ones that we're going to talk about. We're going to hone in on a few here in just a moment to kind of ask some questions about how do they get compensated and what are their incentive structures?
Well, that's really good stuff. And so as we kind of talk about this stuff, when it comes to individuals or entities, how do they typically get paid? Or, you know, kind of looking at another way, how exactly do I pay them and what are their incentives there, Eric?
Yeah, that's $1 million question, yes. Sean, and hopefully it doesn't cost $1 million. But we're primarily discussing this because not only are fees, I think, sometimes difficult to understand to the general consumer, but It's also an awkward topic, right? I mean, I think a lot of people don't really want to confront the person they're working with to ask them. So it's really oftentimes incumbent upon the professional to kind of come right out and say, hey, this is how, you know, this is how I get paid. This is how we work together. But, you know, the financial incentives are really powerful motivators, regardless of the setup that an advisor or other professional uses. As much as we might try to avoid it, it does drive human behavior. And understanding someone's financial incentives and or their typical compensation structure when they're providing you with a financial product or service, that's going to be really important. All consumers should know that more potential conflicts of interest arise when someone is selling you a product for a commission versus providing you with a service for a fee. Okay, so in one case, you know, when someone is selling you a product and they're earning, say, a percentage or some other incentive, as we said there, it generally creates more potential conflict of interest when you are in that situation versus, say, paying a financial planner for a fee or providing investment services for a fee. So during our show today, we intend to discuss a few of these common financial professionals, and we're going to use a four-question framework to help us better understand it. And those four questions are going to be, number one, what core products or services does the professional provide? Who do they sell these services or products to? How do they typically get paid for their core products or services? And finally, number four, is there any potential conflict of interest between what is best for the financial professional and what is best for the customer or the client? So I'm going to start with a pretty basic one here that I think most people would encounter, and that would be bankers or credit union representatives. And as CJ said earlier, we're also talking about loan officers at those institutions. So it's really important to note before we dive into this here, some banks and credit unions offer various investment products or financial planning services, but we're not going to look at those right now. We're going to look more at their core banking services. We'll talk about financial advisors later in the show here. But the first question for bankers or credit union representatives is, what core products or services do they provide? So banks and credit unions typically primarily provide core deposit and loan products. So these are your basic deposit products like checking accounts, saving accounts, money market accounts, maybe CDs are pretty attractive over the last year or so here. So those types of deposit products. And then on the loan side, we're talking about, you know, mortgages, auto loans, credit cards, even business loans if you're talking about like a commercial bank, and home equity lines of credit, all these different types of loan products. Second question here is, who do they sell or provide the services to? So generally, we're talking about the general public, individual consumers, in many cases businesses, and even some other financial institutions and government or public sector entities. And how do they typically get paid? So generally, we're looking at two ways that folks in the bank or credit union world get paid. Number one is known as net interest income. So essentially, this is the difference between what they earn on loan products and the amount that they pay on deposit products. Okay, so the interest rates they collect on loans that they offer to consumers, and then the amount that they actually pay when it comes to interest on your checking, money market, or savings account, for example. So that differential creates something called a net interest income spread. So Sean, when we're talking about this, and you know, over the last year and a half, we've seen interest rates. Over a much longer time frame than that now, we've seen interest rates go up. And we say, gosh, the car loan interest rates are going up a lot, but my deposit accounts aren't coming up so quickly. You can see here, this might be why. The second way that they're typically going to get paid for their core products is through non-interest income, which is often referred to as like fee income. So think of, you know, account or service fees on a checking or savings account, lending fees, credit card fees, and, you know, even wealth management or advisory fees, again, we're not going to dive into that too much. That's more of an additional service that those institutions provide, and we'll talk about advisors later. But number four here is there any potential conflict of interest between, again, what is best for the financial professional and what is best for the customer or client? And the very short answer here is yes. There can be potential conflicts of interest that arise from the inherent tension between the bank or credit union sales and profit motives and their customers' financial well-being, especially when employee compensation is tied to product sales targets. So banks and credit unions, they can generally mitigate this conflict by limiting employee sales only incentives and instead diversifying their employee financial incentives across sales, customer satisfaction, customer retention, so that there are ways to mitigate some of the conflict of interest, but it is definitely present in this situation.
I love this four question framework, and we're going to continue on more with this with our retirement planning professionals, of course, Eric Schwartz and CJ Kloss. Don't forget, if you've got a question, we've got a line for you right now at 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. You can learn more about Kloss Financial. They've got a great website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Get to know Eric and CJ and the whole team at Kloss Financial. You can also sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter and also learn how they can help you, or if you're a business owner as well. All that great information available to you at klossfinancial.com. Speaking of things available to you, telephone number 608-442-5637. That's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. We'll continue our conversation with CJ, Eric, and take your calls next as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Our telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. This week, we're talking about demystifying fees and commissions and kind of running things through four questions when it comes to the different areas and the different operations, whether it's banking and other areas as well that you want to ask when it comes to the fees and services. And as we were talking in the last segment about banks and credit unions, what about this framework when it comes to financial incentives, compensation structures, potential conflicts of interest? What about accountants in that world, CJ?
Yeah, good question. I want to, before I even get into accountants, I just want to remind everybody of an important phrase that Eric gave you there at the beginning of the show, which is, all consumers should know that more potential conflicts of interest arise when someone is selling you a product for a commission versus providing you with a service for a fee. That is one of the overarching themes of our show today. Now, that is not always true, right? Just like everything in life, when people try to give you absolutes, you can find an exception to that absolute, but it is very much generally true. And so with that frame, now, does that mean that everybody who sells you a product is a bad person and every company who has products to sell you are really just out to get you? Not at all. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is that more potential conflicts of interest could exist. So I hope you guys like this four question framework, by the way. We just kind of came up with this on our own and said, what are the things that consumers should know? What are the questions that they should be asking to any financial professional? So as it relates to accountants, again, these four questions that we're asking across every one of these professionals or industries are the following. What core products or services do they provide? Who do they sell their product or services to? How do they typically get paid for their core product or services? And finally, is there any potential conflict of interest between what is best for the financial professional versus what is best for the customer or the client? So as you just said, let's think about this for accountants. Accountants typically provide services and not products. Full stop. Remember what I just told you. There is a higher potential for conflicts of interest when products are being sold, lower potential conflict of interest when services are provided. So let's actually just think about this for our listeners. Pause. Do you hear about a lot of massive complaints around accountants, you know, who file your income tax returns for a few $100 every year? No, I mean, you may or may not like them, but you're not coming to find out that they're like selling you a bunch of stuff you don't need. They're typically providing a service, and you either like the amount that they charge or you don't. So you can already see, it's like, oh, that's true. If it's a service for a fee, less potential for there to be a problem or a conflict of interest. So let's kind of break this down. What core product or service do they provide? Obviously, tax services. This includes tax prep and tax planning. Accountants will often provide bookkeeping and record keeping services, including recording financial transactions, maintaining general ledgers, and reconciling bank statements. They'll do preparation of financial statements, including like P&Ls or loan applications. They'll do payroll services occasionally. This could include employee wages, calculating payroll taxes, filing payroll taxes, and issuing W-2s. And then at times, accountants can provide advisory and consulting services. This includes business consulting and personal financial planning consulting. This could be on debt management, cash flow management, so on and so forth. The next question for an accountant is, who do they sell to or provide services to? So accountants can serve a broad spectrum of clients. Most commonly, they provide services to individuals and families, small to mid-sized businesses, nonprofit organizations, trusts, and estates. Next question is, how do they typically get paid for their core product or services? Accountants primarily get paid through fee-based structures that include hourly service rates, fixed fee arrangements, retainer fee arrangements, and contingent fee arrangements, although the contingent fee arrangements are much less common. And then final question for accountants is there any potential conflict of interest between what is best for the financial professional and what is best for the customer or client? And the answer, which is going to be true for every single one, is yes. As with almost every financial professional, potential conflicts of interest can arise. Some examples include a conflict can arise within the hourly versus fixed fee arrangement, when the accountant could be incentivized to spend more time on a project when paid hourly versus when being paid a fixed fee. You get the idea, right? Have you ever heard the phrase like, oh, I was talking to my accountant and they're going to charge me $500 for something. They're talking a million miles a minute. Conversely, when somebody says, I was talking to my accountant and they were so slow because I'm paying them hourly. By the way, that could be the consumer's perception of that, but you get the idea. So that could be a conflict. A conflict can arise within cross-selling or referral programs with other professionals like insurance agents or stockbrokers. You'll run into this occasionally, like, why is my accountant so excited about referring me to this financial planner? What's going on here, right? Now, with that being said, the conflicts of interest that typically arise between an accountant and their clients are less common and less severe than the potential conflicts that arise when selling a product. So again, everybody, that's kind of the theme here, is remember that. And again, you're going to have to engage people who sell a product. If you're ever going to buy a car, that is a product. If you're ever going to buy a telephone, or I should say a cell phone, smartphone, whatever they call these things these days, that's a product. So you're going to have to buy products. This is not a bad thing, but you just have to, your hackles need to go up a little bit more. You need to be more cautious when you're buying a product because many of the people selling them to you could be incentivized. And so you just need to pause and be aware of what those incentives are.
Really fascinating information this morning, as always, from our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Eric Schwartz. If you've got a question for CJ and Eric, got a line for you, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Of course, you can learn more about Kloss Financial, their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. So when it comes to financial, common financial categories, those professional categories, are there anyone else that we want to kind of add these and kind of apply these simple four question frameworks to?
Absolutely, Sean. We're not letting the financial advisors off the hook here just because we are financial advisors. So we're gonna apply our four question framework to advisors like us here at Kloss Financial, since our listeners will quickly understand why our industry and other regulators have some work to do when it comes to creating better clarity for consumers around who they're engaging and how they're actually getting compensated. In many ways, it's like I said earlier, it feels like it often comes down to the industry professional that you're working with when it comes to, how clear they are about the fees that they're charging. So to begin here, our audience should know that the term financial advisor is a really, really broad term, and how they operate, how they get paid, potential conflicts of interest. That can vary a lot based on, you know, what licenses or firm affiliations or even their fee structure. So currently, individuals or entities who use the term financial advisor, they can either sell products or they can provide services, or they can do a combination of the two. So depending on their license, their affiliation, and their business model, they can have very complex fee structures. So let's go back to our four-question framework. The first one, what core products or services do financial advisors provide? So they can offer, you know, investment management, investment product sales. In many cases, they can do financial planning. They can help with risk management and sell insurance. They can help strategize around estate planning and tax planning. Obviously, those last two, estate planning and tax planning, most advisors do not actually prepare legal documents or prepare tax returns, but they do help strategize around it. And who do they sell these products or services to? So generally, we're talking about individuals and families, business owners, corporate executives. Sometimes they work with nonprofits or trusts and endowments. It's a pretty broad population of folks that get served. So how do they typically get paid for their products or services? This is where things get really confusing, because advisors can sell products. So, you know, sell a for example, an annuity or life insurance policy and earn a commission. They can provide services, which means that they can technically provide, for example, building a financial plan and charging a one-time fee for doing that, or providing investment management services for an assets under management fee, right? So because there's such a broad spectrum of fee structures, advisors can technically get paid a commission, they can get paid a fee for just doing a service, or again, you can have a firm that does both of those things. So some financial advisors also will work for banks or brokerage firms and maybe primarily get paid a salary with you know, maybe some financial incentives outside of that. But the point is, there's just so many different structures that exist out there. Consumers really need to be, they really need to advocate for themselves, unfortunately, in these situations. And when you're forging a new relationship with a financial professional or evaluating a financial professional, this needs to be a question that folks are asking. And the last of our four questions here is there any potential conflict of interest between what is best for the financial professional or the entity versus what is best for the customer or client? And in this case, it is, again, a resounding yes. There is significant potential for conflict of interest. But the degree to which this applies, it does depend on the fee structure. So whether it's a commission or fee for service or whatever it might be. So again, we would want our listeners to hear, be a good consumer, advocate for yourself, and ask questions.
Really great guidance. And it's interesting as we kind of break all of these different areas down. It's just one of those programs where I think it's important to listen back. If you also, if you enjoyed the program, also share it as well. And you can do that right at KLAAS Financial.com. That's KLAAS, KLAAS Financial.com. Of course, you can listen to the podcast, this and previous shows right on the website, KLAAS Financial.com. You can subscribe there as well. Speaking of subscribing, great day to sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter from KLAAS Financial. Just head on over to KLAAS Financial.com. Telephone number 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at KLAAS Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-442-5637. Put a nice bow on this conversation. We'll also do the KLAAS Quiz Question of the Week. We'll do that next as Money in Motion with KLAAS Financial continues right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with CJ KLAAS and Eric Schwartz, they are our retirement planning professionals from KLAAS Financial. The website, KLAAS Financial.com. That's KLAAS, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. So CJ, as we're kind of going through, there's a lot here, a lot to know when it comes to engaging with financial professionals and, of course, avoiding conflicts. But as Eric left that last segment, especially with financial advisors as well, there's a lot to know there, isn't there?
There is. I was showing these show notes to a friend who's in the accounting world. Mm-hmm. And as he was reading through them, he's like, hey, you're making it sound like, you know, everybody's got a conflict. And I'm like, well, we do. I mean, everybody does. I said, but read to the bottom of the show notes. I said, if you want to see who we really hammer on having conflicts of interest, it's actually people in our industry. And the accountant goes, that's right. That's right. You guys have more potential conflicts than we do. Which is true. I want everybody to hear. We talked, there's more financial professionals, but we talked about three different ones and applied that four question framework. We talked about bankers, credit unions, loan officers. We talked about accountants, and we talked about quote unquote financial advisors. And I say that because it's such a broad term. So if you just want to apply like, hey, CJ, if you were to just say like highest potential conflict down to lowest out of those three, bar none, highest would be in financial professionals, mainly because you don't, or I'm sorry, bar none would be financial advisors, my apologies, mainly because you don't know what hat they're wearing half the time. Are they selling me a product? Are they acting as a fiduciary for a fee? What are they doing? The second one in terms of conflict of interest, highest conflict of interest, would be banks, credit unions, loan officers, and then the third would be the accountants. So again, no preferential treatment here. Financial advisors can often be the worst. Now, some of you are going, what is he doing? He's throwing himself under the bus here. No. So let me clarify Kloss Financial. Kloss Financial is actually a fee-based fiduciary. We do not sell you products. So we do give advice for a fee. What I'm saying is that our industry makes it hard for you to determine that. Now, if you go to our website, we clarify that we're SEC registered. We are not broker-dealer affiliated, on and on. But we do have advisors like they have insurance licenses. Now, they don't sell insurance, but how do you know that? So you get my point. It can be complicated for consumers to try to understand and filter through all of this on their own. Again, we are a fee-based financial planning firm. We try to remove as many, if not all, of the conflicts of interest that could exist between us and our clients. Okay. Now, as I mentioned, we do want to see further reforms within our industry that hopefully will help consumers more easily decipher between an individual or firm that is primarily selling products as a broker for a commission versus an individual or firm that is primarily giving advice as a fiduciary for a fee. The industry has actually made a lot of progress in this regard. Regulators have made a lot of inroads. If any regulators or anybody in the industry are listening to me, I just want to say good job. I think we have more work to go, but we're headed in the right direction. And in the meantime, for consumers, we think it's paramount that you become aware whenever you're engaging anyone using the term financial advisor or wealth manager or private wealth manager or anything similar in title. One good place to start to kind of figure out who they are and how they function is by visiting the Certified Financial Planner Board consumer website at www.letsmakeaplan.org. And you can review their various resources and suggested questions to ask a financial advisor before engaging their services. You can also go to Google and put in broker check, and you can look at their licenses. You can look at their history to see if anybody that you're working with or planning on engaging has any violations or anybody who's filed a complaint against them. So there's two resources, letsmakeaplan.org and then broker check, just to do some background digging on the person it is or the firm that it is that you're engaging.
Speaking of going online as well, I mentioned the website, KlaasFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. I always mention you can learn more about the separate divisions at Kloss Financial, things like fee for service with the Kloss 360 and Kloss 401k, fee-based retirement plans, all that stuff. A lot of this information also spelled out right at KlaasFinancial.com. Great website to get to know the team at Kloss Financial as well. Great day to pick up phone, give them a call, 608-442-5637. Little added bonus, that first get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It's not going to cost you a thing. That'll be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. You're going to want to hold on to that telephone number now as well, because it's time for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. Just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer, you win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Amazon. This this week's Kloss Quiz question of the week is this: true or false? More potential conflicts of interest arise when someone is selling you a product for a commission versus providing you with a service for a fee. Telephone number 608-442-5637. First caller with the correct answer will win the $25 gift card to Amazon. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. That number one more time, 608-442-5637. CJ, Eric, it's always great chatting with both of you guys. Enjoy this beautiful day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
See you guys. Dr. Marty Greer comes your way next here on 1310 WIBA.